here. I'm the pastor of Island Pond. I want to thank you for checking out our videos. Whether you're listening by podcast, watching online, or watching on television, my prayer is that God will use this message to bless you, encourage you, and challenge you today. If you want more information about our church, or if you want to watch other messages, you can go to www.islandpondbc.com. If you live in the Hampstead, New Hampshire area, come on out. Right now, our services are at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning in Hampstead, New Hampshire. All right, let's go ahead and dive in to the message today. All right, we'll go ahead and open up to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to be continuing in our series, what I call the coronavirus series. We've taken a little break from James for a moment. And in the last 2 weeks, I talked about what God has to say to us as we're in the midst of a fearful time. And we're going to go in a little bit of a different direction, looking at what is possibly one of, maybe not the most, but one of the most well-known passages in Scripture, at least to those who are used to going through difficult times. And so let me read from Romans 8:28. Again, I said it's often quoted and it's often misquoted. So Romans chapter 8 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Now, this verse is extremely comforting to those who are going through difficult times, but it is also extremely annoying to the same people who are going through difficult times. Because it quickly comes to mind that like, say you see someone going through a difficult spot and you're like, oh, don't worry. You're going through something difficult. Cheer up, because God is working something good in you. And how is it that God is working for your good, particularly in a situation like that? It doesn't feel nice when you're told, oh, just cheer up. God's working for your good. But what exactly does he mean when Paul says that in this passage? So how is God working for our good? In our particular environment now, how is God working for our good when we've just been laid off from our job? How's God working for our good when we are literally almost running out of money? How is God working for our good when we become sick or one of our loved ones become sick with the coronavirus or really anything else? How is God working for our good, students, when our school's been canceled or when our sports, the time that we've been looking forward to for the entire year that we've been practicing for, and now the entire season is gone? How is God working for our good when our vacation plans have been interrupted or when we're constantly living in fear of something that we cannot see? How is God working in that? But this verse has been around longer than the coronavirus. So let's look at some of the big picture, some of the big things, big events that have happened over the past number of years. How was God working for our good at 9/11? When thousands of people died, how was God working for our good in that situation? What about when we lost our loved one, our spouse, or our child? How was God working for our good then? Or when something tragic or shameful happened to us, how was God working for our good? When the cancer came back with even more of a vengeance than before, or how is God working for our good? And if I may be even so bold to say, how dare God say something like that, that God works for our good in the midst of our pain or suffering? Does he seem to enjoy us going through difficult times? Does he really mean what we think he means here? Or what exactly does he even mean here? And all these questions come up as we look at a verse like this. And so on this morning, I want to look at what Paul says here in Romans 8:28. in the midst of the coronavirus and everything else going on, I want to talk about what does it mean for God to work for our good. And so I'm going to be looking at these verses and then and the few verses that come after that. So here's my goal this morning. I want to show you that even in difficult times, God is still working for your good. Even in the difficult times, God is still working for your good. However, and this is a big however, we must understand what this passage means. Because I would dare say that it probably means something different than what many of you or what many of us think it means. So let me go ahead and read this entire passage. We're going to look at verses 28 to 31. So Paul says again, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who have been called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And so today, for the rest of this message, I'm going to focus just on the first half of verse 28. And then the next time that we get together, we'll work through the rest of 28 and then going through verses 31. And so here's what I want to tell you to help you understand this verse. First of all, this verse only applies to Christians. It only applies to Christians. Paul says that, and we know that for those who, what? Who love God. For those who love God. So Paul is not speaking to all people like God is just going to work for the good of all people. He's speaking to a very select group for those who love God. So in other words, this verse does not apply to everyone. I remember watching years ago the great movie, Rudy. And in the movie, it's this little short guy who wants to play football at Notre Dame. That's his dream. Everybody mocks his dream. But he works hard and he makes it into Notre Dame. And he has to work hard as a student. And then he has to work hard to get on the football team. He eventually makes it onto the football team. And he's a backup for most of the season. And then at the very, very end of the season, he's called in and he makes a big tackle. And everyone celebrates and they pick him up. And they walk him off the field, lifting him up, cheering for him. Now, it makes me think that in the midst of all the difficulty that I went through, Rudy might say something like, God worked for all things for my good. But this verse, again, is not applying to just anyone in any situation. It is specifically for those who know God and love God, and or, as we'll see in one example, as those who will come to know God as well. And so before I go on, I want to say, do you know God and do you love him? Because if you want God to work through you, to work out good in your life, then you must be in his family. You must be in his family. And listen, salvation is very exclusive in the sense that not everyone is saved, but that gift of salvation is offered to anyone who will call out to Jesus Christ. And so even right now, if you will call out to him and ask him to be the Lord of your life, then he will save you and you will be part of his family. And so if you will do that right now, then this idea of God working out the good for you will be applicable to you as well. But that's only the first part that I want you to see. But the second part is equally important, that we need to think about what this idea of good means when he says that God is working out our good. So here's the point two. The good is from an eternal perspective. It's looking at things eternally and not just immediately. Paul says, all things work together for good. for good. So he's not talking there, though, about just a physical, immediate gratification. God is thinking big picture, big picture. Because so often we think that, oh, God's working for my good. And then we sort of look around for that physical blessing that we may receive right here on this earth. That we're looking for something immediate or something physical that God can bless us with. But I talked about a couple of weeks ago how I don't have it here, but I took this rope and I had my daughter take this long rope and stretch it all the way down to the other end of the sanctuary and actually out into the parking lot. And I showed everyone how really just this much is our life here on earth. And then all the rest is a timeline of just the first fraction of us in eternity. And so it would not be good for us if God did everything for just this part and it ruined the rest of eternity. So when God is thinking about our good, he doesn't just have the first little tidbit in mind. He has the entire process, the entire linear timeline of our life in line. And that's what he's talking about when he says that he's working for your good. Yes, maybe there will be some good that comes out of the little, but he's thinking long term. He's thinking eternal, because that will far benefit you than just whatever is going to happen here in this little part at the beginning. Each morning, my kids struggle with this idea on a smaller scale when now they are stay-at-home homeschooled kids, and I bring them to the table, and my middle two have to sit down and begin working on some schoolwork. And they complain, it's boring, I don't want to do it. And so what do? Oh, kids, I want you to be happy, so just go and play and do whatever you want. No, I don't do that. I say, do your work. Do your work. Because, it might be boring, but tough. You must learn, because that will benefit you in the long run. And church, there are things that we're going to be going through, no matter the source of it, but there are things that we're going to be going through that don't feel good. And some of them God may be putting in our life to cause difficulties to help us grow. And some of them may just be from the sinfulness and brokenness of the world. But whatever it may be, God may allow it to happen to us, not because he's cruel, but because actually he's being good to you, because he wants to use that bad situation. He wants to use that difficulty to help you grow and grow eternally and benefit eternally and not just a little bit. So God's far more concerned about your long term than your short term. And listen, that's what the heart of Christianity is about. We have a kingdom mindset, not just a little earthly mindset. I read a story about some Christians who were visiting Turkey a while back, the country of Turkey, and their guide was a Muslim. And over the week, they had several serious conversations about Jesus and the gospel. And in the last day, one of the Christians asked him, he said, we've been talking about Jesus all week. Would you like to put your faith in Jesus Christ? Would you like to become a Christian? And this is what the Muslim said back to him. He said, you don't know what you're asking. Do you know what would happen if I did that? If I announced it to anybody, my wife would leave me. My family would disown me. My boss would fire me. I may want to leave to go back to the United States, and the government would not give me an exit visa. I'd give up everything. You go back home tomorrow, I would not expect you to support me, and I would starve to death in my own culture. as far as they know, the story, the guy telling the story, he never did put his faith in Jesus Christ. But the reality is that many people in that, in those similar situations are called to do that, and some do, and some lose everything. They lose their family, they lose their spouse, they lose their job, and they suffer physically, all for what? For what? For God to work out good in them. But that good is definitely not here in the first part. That good is in the long-term part later. Listen, if you think that Romans 8:28 is talking about a promise to live a middle-class life and visit a lovely church in a nice town with a membership at the Atkinson Country Club, then you are very mistaken, because God is not calling us to follow him so that we can prosper physically. He is calling us to follow him so that we can prosper spiritually. And that's what God wants from us. And it may cost us physically. It may cost us everything. It may even cost us our life. Does that feel good? No, no. I wouldn't even know, but it does. It sounds like it doesn't feel good. But this little bit, if it costs this little bit to get an amazing everything else, I would say it's worth it. It's worth it. So God is more concerned about your long-term well-being than your short-term happiness. Now, that's as far as we're going to get in our passage this morning. I'll look at the rest of it next time. But you may be wondering, all right, Kyle, that all sounds great. It's very theological, and it's very encouraging in some sense. It's very challenging in other sense. Yes, Kyle, but I am going through a tough time right now. I'm about to lose my job. I'm struggling financially. All these things, I'm living in fear. So what does this mean for me? So here's what I want you to see for the rest of the time. Bad things are still bad, but God can make good out of them. Yes, bad things are still bad, but God can make good out of them. You've probably heard the saying, if life gives lemons, then what do you make? Lemonade. Yes. And that's sort of true. I've actually used it in sermon illustrations in the past, but I'm not going to go there this morning because I want to think about this from a spiritual perspective. You see, there is only so much that we can do in our own power. My family and I love watching these baking shows. And one of our favorite baking shows is one where these horrible bakers go on the show. And they are given something amazing to make. And so there's a chef that shows them what to make, shows them how to make it. They're given all the ingredients they need, all the equipment they need. They're given the directions, and then they're given a certain amount of time to make it. And then they're sent off to make it. And the results are horrible, horrible. There is nothing amazing about these, even though they work hard and they try to do it and they're given everything they can. No, the results there are just absolutely laughingly horrible. That's what makes the show so great, though. But here's my point. When life gives you lemonade, God can make far better lemonade than you. So instead of trying to make good out of bad in your own power, I want to challenge you to take all of that bad and give it to God. And give it to God, because he is the master baker, and he is able to make far better, something far better than what you can make. Don't think that, oh, I need to make something good out of it, so I'm just going to do what I can and work harder and get. No, no. The best thing that you can do is take the pain, take the suffering, take the fear, and give it to God. Just give it to him. I want to give you one example from our church right here. Adam and Julia are members of our church. And in 2015, by the way, they gave me permission to tell this story. Julia was pregnant with twins when she found out that both of her twins had that her twins had passed away. And Julia told me that this week that if anyone had told her something along the lines of God works all things for our good during this situation, she would have slapped them. Because in the midst of this horrible situation, it did not feel good. It did not feel good, but God began to work. God began to work. You see, her husband Adam was not a Christian. And during this tragic time, it caused him to begin to search and began to read the Bible more. And one day, about a year and a half later, he ended up putting his faith in Jesus Christ, directly linked to the situation, to the horrible death of their children. But it led to his salvation. Now, a couple of years later, they also then began fostering. First of all, they adopted a dog, and then they fostered a child, and then they adopted the child, and then about a year ago, Julia gave birth to a healthy baby boy. Now, no one would say that the death of their twins was good. Not even God would say that, because that was a horrible thing to happen. But God was able to make lemonade far better than any of us could take a horrible situation. And so this will look different for each person. And so it may be in one person, it's a salvation. And maybe in another person, it's someone else being saved or growing in their relationship with God or discipling other people. I don't know. It's going to look different for each people. But God's able to take difficult situations and use it to make good come out of it. Is that situation itself good? No. No. But God is able to take it and use it for good. But here's the thing. We must have faith that God's going to do that. Because there are times where we may not ever see the big picture. Where we may not ever see what God has done good in the situation. Because God is not obligated to tell us or to show us or to explain to us. And so bad things may come out and God may use that for good, but he may not even ever show us the good. But we must have faith that God's in control. And while the situation is not good, he can turn your bad into good. And so I want to ask you, what about you? What pain are you going through right now? I'm not going to tell you just cheer up. God's going to turn into good. Because I understand your pain right now is real pain. But I want to encourage you that in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of that health problem, in the midst of that fear, in the midst of everything else going on, God still cares about you. He hasn't forgotten about you. And one day, and you may not even see this day until you get to heaven, that you will be able to look back at the suffering, at the financial problems, at the health problems, and you will be able to say that God was there all along and he used my bad for good. Let me close with this story. I read about a minister who returned to the pulpit just 10 days after his son died. And he went up and he began reading Romans 8:28. He said, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." And the story goes that visibly struggling, he said, "I cannot make my son's death fit into the passage. It's impossible for me to see how anything good can come out of it. Yet I realize that I only see in part, and I only know in part." And then he said, it's like the miracle of a shipyard. Almost every part of our great ocean-going vessels are made of steel. And if you take any single part, be it a steel plate out of the hull or a huge rudder, and throw it into the ocean, it will sink. Steel doesn't float. But when the shipbuilders are finished, when the last plate has been riveted in place, when that massive steel ship, then that massive steel ship is virtually unsinkable. Taken by itself, my son's death is senseless. Throw it into the sea of Romans 8:28, and it sinks. Still, I believe that when the eternal shipbuilder has finally finished, when God has worked out his perfect design, even this senseless tragedy will somehow work for our eternal good. So, church, right now your pain is real, yes. But don't try to make lemonade on your own. Turn to God. Turn to him and make him the Lord of your life, and then give him all your pain. Give him all your suffering, all your fear, because he will make things so much better than you can and on your own strength and your own power. Let me go ahead and pray for you all this morning.